בוקר טוב ורות. Today's daf in Masechet Benachot is daf Lamed Aleph, a special daf for Richie, who is always saying no. So here is your daf, Lamed Aleph special. We've been looking for the various cases where the halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Shizuri was stated by Rabbi Hanina, and he says actually all over halacha. Wherever we find a Rav Shimon Shizuri quoted by these Tanoim, they are all the halakha. But we wanted to know what the original psak of Rabbi Hanina was about Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. And we were looking all over the place. We've managed to be docher every single place that we discovered because of the fact that we found other people who pasken like Rav Shimon Shizuri, and Rabbi Hanina's psak wasn't mentioned. So apparently, none of them were the primal place where he had mentioned that halacha is to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. And so we continue our search today, which has taken us far afield from the original halachas, of course, that were nogea a Sefer Torah. And so we continue at the bottom, last words, actually. Ella, at the bottom line, Ella, Omar Rav Papa, you know what the halacha was referring to? The primal halacha of Rav Shimon Shizuri was referring to a shida. Shida, b'pashtus, again, many learn. Otherwise, Rashi learns that it's talking about a actual conveyance. So it's like a coach. And it's made out of wood. It's like a small stagecoach, which is meant for transporting a woman, a chosh of a woman. And the problem here is to understand what is the shiur of a Kli Eitz Asui L'Nachat. So remember that we actually just learned the idea of the Menorah HaTorah as opposed to the Shulchan HaTorah, and we mentioned there the halacha that since Kli Eitz is learned out of the same pasuk that talks about Sak, it's a Sak or Eitz, we understand that Eitz is not in the same category of Kli, such as things like Matechet, but rather they need to be movable, the same way that Sak is. We also know that they have to have a base kibble, but here we're focusing on movability. Now, there's a maximum size to what's considered to be movable because of the fact that there's too much pressure on the material of the kli. So now, when we say movable, it doesn't just mean movable when it's empty, but it has to be movable malei vereka. So that's the key words over here are that it's metaltel malei vereka. And there we find that there's a machlokas about the size of the measurements of that shita, which we'll talk about in a moment. And Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, I think that the primal place where Rabbi Shimon Shizuri was paskin, like by Rabbi Hanina, was the case about Yayin, which we're going to examine now. Let's take Rav Papa's case first. Rav Papa says, the case is the shita. And that is the following Mishnah, which we had in Kalim, and the Tanan. How do we measure a Kli Eitz to make sure that it has the not too large, but just the requisite space to be metalta mole vereikon, but not beyond, in which case it ceases to be a Kli in terms of Kabbalah's Tuma? So we have a machlokas there. Beit Shammai says, Nimderet mi bifnim. We measure the inside capacity of that shida, of that coach. And Beit Shammai says, no, you basically put the whole thing closed into water and you see its displacement. And that way you can measure how much it holds, which means that you include the thickness of the actual walls of the kli of the shida. Umodim elu ve'elu. However, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that ein ovi haraglayim v'ovi alav zabin nimdat. So the ovi haraglayim, it's not 100% clear how we apply it in this case, but the thickness of the legs, so the legs appear to be the pieces of the coach that extend downwards to be able to hold the wheels, and the alav zabin are always a reference to an upper area of a kli, which is a lip. So they used to make a lip. I would assume it's decorative around the top of the coach. Everybody agrees that we do not include those things in the actual containment space. And depending, as we'll see, how long they are, because they are not part of the etzem kli itself. So the additional material that's on top and on the bottom that sticks out is not considered to be part of what we'll measure. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no, actually, they are measured. When they said they're not measured, what they meant was the area in between them is not measured. That's what they meant. But the actual pieces that are part of the kli, of course, are measured. Now, here's where we get to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, it depends on how far this bottom area sticks up. Ima yurak lein gvoh tefach, ein b'neim nimdad. V'imla b'neim nimdad. So if they're really just a small little bit, which is not even a tefach, so just a couple of inches sticking out of the bottom, so then that is considered to be part of the kli itself, and it doesn't delineate a separate area. But once they're a tefach, then it's true that we don't measure the space between them. So we've gradually gone from Rabbi Yossi down to Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So maybe this, says Rav Papa, is the primary place where Rabbi Chanina said his din, that the halacha is Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, lo od ela kol mokom, that was Shaina Rabbi Shimon Shizuri halacha kumoto, and now that we have more to life back with us, you can write down the piece that he wasn't here for, which is that Kli Eitz needs to be mitaltel, mitaltel with a yud, which is the same as mitaltel, male verekam, has to be movable, full and empty. And we're measuring over here the fullness of, how do we measure the space of a coach? And the question is, do we include the outside? Do we only include the inside? And we had this additional issue about extensions on the top and the bottom, which are called levazvezin on top and the raglayim on the bottom. How exactly do we intend to Ori to make up these missing dapim, Mr. Gavi? Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak, whereas Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak says it's referring to yayin, and that is the Mishnah that we had in Tyrus. And that is that Rabbi Meir Omer, now remember that we have a halacha, that there's a takonet rabbanan, that mashkin are always choizrin liyot rishon. So this was a takonet, that mashkin are mekabel tuma, even if they're mekabel tuma from a sheni, surprisingly, they became a rishon. This was a takonet rabbanan. Remember, it was based on the gezeira about mashkin alulin the kabel tuma, and that there are mashkin which are even aves hatuma in terms of the mayonot hazav. In any event, the question here, according to Rashi, is which mashkin are we talking about? Are we talking about all shiva mashkin, or are we talking only about mayim, or perhaps things that have the same vicosity as mayim? This is how Rashi understands the following discussion. Almost everyone else disagrees with Rashi for the obvious reason that we were just learning in Masechet Machshirin. It's lovely to be able to bounce back and forth here as if we just recently learned it. So we just learned in Masechet Machshirin that beferish that all Shiva Mashkin are Chozrim Liyos Rishon. And it says beferish over there. It's the, our remember our Simon, the for the seven Mashkin, which we specifically had the Yad and the Dam connected the way we learned it to be able to have the Dala Dala together to remember Tvash Dvarim. But anyway, so we have water and we have Tal and we have Yayin and we have Shemen and we have Dam and we have Cholov and we have the Tvash Dvarim. So that was our Yad Dam Shachat. And therefore, they learned that this Mishnah is talking about a case where something had been Mekabel Tuma with this Gezerah and then it solidified. And now the question is, after it solidified, let's say it froze, you know, or was honey that turned solid. So once it's a solid, it doesn't have its din of mashkin anymore. So now the question is, if it's rewarmed or rehydrated, is it going to be chozer to be tomei or not? That's the way other Rishonim learn the case. But in any event, what are the different mashkin that we discuss in this Mishnah, which is in Tyrus? So Rabbi Meir Eimer, I hold that shemen is also always chozer v'yot rishon. And the Chachamim say even honey, which is even more vikus. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says even wine, which makes no sense. What do you mean even wine? Wine is less vikus and more similar to mayim. If you say even wine, are you trying to say that the Tanakama holds not wine? Sorry, you're right. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer yayin, only yayin beyond mayim. Fine. So here is where Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak suggests that Rabbi Chanina made his stand. Namely, that komakom, that it says Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, the first place he said it on was halachic Rabbi Shimon Shazuri on this Mishnah in Tyrus about yayin. And, okay, we have no problems with either of these because we don't have anywhere else that someone paskin like and didn't mention Rabbi Chanina. So, one of these apparently is the original case. Now, there's a question about one additional case and whether Rabbi Chanina would have even said about this case that the halakha is like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, pa'amachat nitarev li tevel b'chulin. Now, this is the real reason that we're not sure if Rabbi Chanina would have said even on this halakha, because it's not Rabbi Shimon Shazuri who said this about his own psak. He said that he went to ask Rabbi Tarfon for a psak. So the question is, since this is Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's ma'amar, did Rabbi Chanina even mean to extend it to this case? Anyway, so the case was that I once had teva that got mixed up with my chulin, and the din is that, according to him, that min b'minay isn't batal, and therefore, if you don't hold to that, it's not a problem. But he had a problem because min b'minay, and this was the same teva. So the question over here was, what to do if it got mixed up? How do I take off the miser, because it's a small amount of already miser that had, of chulin, that had already been taken miser from, so I can't simply take out miser from it. So I came and I asked Rabbi Tarfon what to do, and he said, get something that's chayiv in miser in the same way that this is, and that way you could take it from that new stuff on this stuff. And what he said to me was, go out to the marketplace and buy something from the market. Now, since from the market, it has a din of demai, because you cannot be sure that the Ama Oretz actually took off Trumas HaMaisras, and therefore, midrabbanan, it will be chayiv. And if you take off from a drabbanan, then you'll be taking off from a drabbanan on the other drabbanan. What's the other drabbanan? The din that min b'minoy eino bato here is only a chumra midrabbanan, because b'diraisa, the chulin was, the teva that fell in was mevuto in the rov of chulin, even a simple rov. So memela, you'll be taking from one chiyav drabbanan on another chiyav drabbanan, and that'll be okay. Because clearly Rabbi Tarfon held the Oraita, really the tevel that fell into the chulin was batal. And the din of Dmai is also a fiction that was created by a takana d'rabbanan, because really Rov Amei Ha'aretz do take off Meiser, and therefore you're really Midi Oraita, you're taking off Min Aptur Al Aptur, and it'll be Midi Rabbanan, you're taking off Min Achiyev Al Achiyev. So everything is perfect, balances out great. But wait a minute, didn't Rabbi Tarfon, couldn't he have said, go ahead and buy something from a goy and use that? It must be, since he didn't say that, that that wouldn't be a good eitzah. And Rabbi Tarfon apparently holds that even produce of a goy is chayev in Eretz Yisrael, and that would be because of another gavi rule, namely, ein or yes, that's a question in the brackets, Ein kinyan lo v'kirchavim v'eretz Yisrael, lahavkia min ha-maaser. So that we had that machlokas many times. If Rabbi Tarfon holds that you cannot have any way to potter things that grow in Eretz Yisrael from maaser, even though they're grown by a goy, so then that wouldn't be a good eitzah, because if he held that, so if Rabbi Shimon Shazuri would buy from a goy, it would be chayev midiraisa. And then how could he use it to take off trumas and maisrif from something that was actually only chayev midirabanan, since it was batel berov midiraisa? And some had this story exactly in the opposite. In that version, Rabbi Tarfon actually did say the idea to buy it from a goy. And that's, he told him, lech kach min ha'ovet kachavim. So that would mean that he obviously holds yesh kinyin lo'ovet kachavim b'eretz Yisrael, lefkiyo miyan ma'aser, in which case it would be perfect, it would be min ha'ptur al-ha'ptur, and therefore would be wonderful. In this version, we asked, why not try it the other way around? Why didn't Rabbi Tarfon say, go buy from the shuk, from the Jews? And that way you would be buying demai, and it would be a drabanan on a drabanan. Must be, in this version, that Rabbi Tarfon holds that actually demai is a sofek d'oraisa, because he holds ein rov ame ha'aretz ma'asrin, and it's not just a takana drabanan, in which case you might be actually taking off Meiser from a chi of d'oraisa, if it turned out it had never been Meiser, and you'd be taking it on something that was actually potter because it was potter berov, a poshet erov min d'oraisa, and then that Meiser would actually remain teva. So, now we heard this additional Reb Shimon Shazuri. So Reb Yemar Bar Shalmia asked Reb Papa, he sent a telegram to Reb Papa, when Rabbi Bar Chanina quoted Ula, who quoted Rabbi Chanina, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. And not only that, ela kol makom sheshana Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, halacha kamoto. Did he even include this case? Af minitarev leitevo bechulin? So he was actually asking whether, since this was not Rabbi Shimon Shazuri's own psak, and he was only saying over what Rabbi Tarfon had said to him, would Rabbi Chanina have included this in his list of all of the Piskei Halachas that go according to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri? And he actually, Rav Papa said, absolutely. And yes, and Rav Ashi says, gosh, Marzutra said to me, I don't even understand what the problem was. Why wouldn't it be? He didn't realize that the question over here was not the psak like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, but rather whether this was in fact an original Rabbi Shimon Shazuri psak. That was the question, because it was actually a quoting of Rabbi Tarfon's psak. So Marzutra said that Rabbi Chanina, this is not the same Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina Misura asked me why in the world there's anything to doubt about this. Why was Rabbi Yemiar Bar Shalmia even confused? Pshita, why wouldn't it be? Remember that, well, he thought that the question was, does a statement that's not in the Mishnah, was he including that, or did he mean Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, wherever Rabbi Shimon Shazuri occurs in a Mishnah? Well, he didn't say that. Mika Amar b'Mishnatenu, there are places where we'll paskin like someone, kol makom shenemar X, b'mishnatenu halacha kamoto. But if it's not in a Mishnah, then the rule wouldn't have applied. He thought that was what the question was. So he said, it doesn't say kol makom she'amar Rabbi Shimon Shazuri b'mishnatenu. It just says kol makom she'shana, wherever such a psak was repeated. So why would this not be a psak of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri that Rabbi Chanina would hold of? But actually, this is not a persuasive taina. Anyway, getting back to our Sefer Torah, this was quite a long non sequitur about all the different Piskei Halachas of Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. And now, let's go back to our Sefer Torah. How about if you've got a tear in the Sefer Torah that doesn't go through the actual writing, so it's not a question of having pasled the otiyot, but it is a psul in the unity of the Sefer Torah. So can you just sew it back up, and now you have a Sefer that is Shalom again? So he said that Rav Paskin, that if you have a tear that goes through two lines of writing without actually hitting any kind of letter, you can sew it up, and it's kosher. But if it goes through three lines of writing, then al yitfar, and you should actually replace this daf by making it part of a new piece of parchment. Omale rabazute l'revashi, that's true. However, you haven't said over all of the details. When we say that if it's a three-line tear, you should not sew it up, that's only where it's tearing through an older Sefer Torah. Because that older Sefer Torah implies if it's starting to tear like that, because parchment doesn't usually tear very easily. If it's starting to tear like that, it's because it's starting to decay. And that parchment, there comes a certain time where it becomes brittle. And apparently this parchment is brittle. And therefore, once it's already starting to fall apart, and it's three shitot, more than that, it already looks like the Sefer Torah is on its way out, and it should go into the Gneza. Or it could be that it's purely a question, this is actually about Chokas Rishonim, that it's purely a question of aesthetics, and that if it's an older cloth, so then you can see very clearly where it tears, because it's dark, usually as it gets older, it gets dark. But if it's brand new, so then you could sew it even more. And what's more, he explained that when we say old, it doesn't mean old measured in years, and young doesn't mean young measured in years. It means that it's been treated or not treated with afatzim. So, ha de lo afitzan, v'ha de afitzan. This is, it's interesting, a machlokas in both directions, whether the new one is considered to be the one that was afitzan, that they used gallnuts for, to treat it, because that makes it stronger, and the old one was not, and that leaves it weaker. That's one shita. And the other, most Rishonim hold, like Rashi, that is just the opposite. That once it's been treated with the afitzim, so then that makes it dark, and therefore it's the same as if it's old, because the tear is very clear, because it shows up as white where it is that it was torn. These gallnuts, by the way, are fascinating, because they're not really a nut. Are you able to hear anything while you're talking over there, Mr. Alon?
Sorry, I was just saying
Tefillat HaDerech. Tefillat HaDerech is kosher for all of us. You should say it aloud. We're all on the road, let me tell you. Okay, so what are these gallnuts? What are these afitzim? So, incredibly, they are not a nut. They are not a fruit. And what they are a defense mechanism by oak trees to an attack by wasps. So if wasps have, which they often do, as we know, they lay their eggs in various materials, including figs, of course, which are actually fertilized that way. But if an oak has a problem with a wasp infestation, so the area that was attacked actually produces this material, which is what we use as a gallnut, which fights off the infestation. And they look like little nuts. And they've been used apparently across the ages for making ink and for putting on materials. So it's throughout all the dinim of Sefer Torah, we always have these afitzim there. But they're not necessarily all that easy to find. Anyway, now let's talk about how are you sewing up the tear. So, hane mile begidim. You're talking about sewing up a tear. The tears on a Sefer Torah need to be gidim, from an animal. That's how halacha l'meshe miSinai, that if you're sewing together the different sheets of parchment, halacha l'meshe miSinai is that it has to be sewed together begidim, which are actually material from the animal itself. Gidim don't necessarily mean sinews, which is their modern use, but a type, it could be nerve fibers, it could be sinews. Anyway, but don't use thread. Avo bigradin lo, you can't use thread, because even though here this is not part of the halacha l'meshe miSinai, but this is part of the way that we'll treat the Sefer Torah. And it's interesting that actually the minhag is bedavka to sew the tear in a Sefer Torah with silk and not begidin, because silk is very, very fine and it's very strong. even though it's fine, and therefore it's less nikar. So that became the minhag because of the Rishonim. This is the way that that we paskin. I don't know paskin. Ramah brings the minhag is, and that's because gradim does not mean threads. It's a very particular, strange use of the word. The gradim always means the pieces of thread that are sticking out on the edge from a weave, and those are specifically weaker because they've been the leftovers, that they've been exposed at the edge, and therefore they understand that it means don't use something weak, use something strong. But if that's the case, I could certainly use silk, and that became the minhag. Boy, Rav Yehuda bar Abba, how about if the tear does not go through the lines, but it goes through the dapim? So in other words, it's not on the seam, which is sewn together with the gidim. It's between one daf and another, and it's not supposed to be there. So if it's more than three lines, and it's not on the lines within the daf, or how about if it's a horizontal line, and it goes completely between one line and another line, but it doesn't go through a line? What's the din over there? My, does that have the same halacha? And what's the measurement? Maybe the question is over here, is that it's kosher even if it's not? This is a machlokas apiskim, what this means. And we'll see what the psak is. So he answered only that it was teku. Now, if that's the point, so then a teku we ought to be machmeran. Problem is that the psak halacha, and the Rambam brings this, is that there's no problem in sewing if it's a horizontal line or if it's between the dapim. So everybody asks on the Rambam. If it says over here, teku, why, if we're dealing with the kashas of a Sefer Torah, which is a Suffolk D'Oraisa, why does he allow it, yes, to be sewn up b'chlal? And apparently, so the Nesi Kalin of the Rambam say that he understood that the Gemara was asking not whether you can sew it, or what's the shear of sewing it, but whether you even need to sew it. And therefore, he was paskening l'chumra by saying that you should sew it, but there was no shear that was given to it. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Zeiri, Omer Rabbi Hananel, Omer Rav. Now, if we're talking about a mezuzah, till now we've been talking about a Sefer Torah. Suppose you wrote a mezuzah with only two words on each line of the mezuzah. So you wrote it shtayim shtayim, but still be kosher. Well, what about if you wrote one line with two words, and then one line with three words, and then one line with one word? How about that? Says the Gemara, certainly we'll see that a Sefer Torah like that is possible. But what about a mezuzah? Omer Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, that's even better, because then it looks like poetry. And as the Rebbe will tell us, if it looks more like poetry, it's more kosher. Anything which is more poetic is by definition more kosher. So that would be even better, wouldn't it? Because now you've got these alternating sizes. So since you made it like a shira, remember what the shira looks like. It has alternating lines in which you have the bricks, the full brick and the half bricks, right? So that should be even better. Says the Gemara, what? It says in a braita that if you made it like the shira, or you wrote the shira like it, it's pasul. Yes, that's talking about a Sefer Torah. We know that that's true about a Sefer Torah, but here we're talking about a mezuzah. And making a mezuzah kashira, dafka, makes it better. And in fact, we have another Mandi Omer who says that. Itmanami, Omer Rabba Barbachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Some say it was in Rabba Barbachana, it was Ravacha Barbachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. And if you make a mezuzah, two words followed by three words, followed by one word, that's kosher. But you can't make it look like a tent, and you can't make it look like a tail. So in other words, it cannot be made with the wider on the bottom as if it's a tent. So not one, two, and three, and not three, two, and one, as if it's an upside-down tent or a tail. Amar Rav Chisda, as far as the closing words of the mezuzah, Kimei HaShamayim, the last two words, Al Ha'aretz, they are written on the line all by themselves. They have to be on that last line. Now, some say they're put at the end of that line. And some say they're put on the beginning of that last line. And the rest of the line is empty. So, Ma'adiyam Rebbe Sof Shita wants to put the words Kimei HaShamayim at the end of the line on top of Al Ha'aretz. So that shows the Shamayim, upper, Al Ha'aretz, lower. And that we can achieve by putting the words Al Ha'aretz at the end of the line so that it's a simen. Your life should be very long. The distance between the Shamayim, Al Ha'aretz, Kigova, Shamayim, Al Ha'aretz. And the man, the Omer B'tchila Shita, says, Ki hecha demirachaka Shamayim v'aretz. You should have a life that is as long as the distance between the Shamayim and the Aretz. Now, that would explain why only the good die young, because they don't have so much space between the Shamayim and the Aretz, I guess, right? Okay. Omer Rabbi Chalba, I saw Rav Huna actually rolling up his mezuzah, and he rolled it up from the end, the word echad, at the end of a line, towards Shema at the beginning of the line, and that would actually have the Shema, on the word Shema, on the top. And he would also be ose parshiotav setumot. He would make the parshiot in the mezuzah closed, and this is the opening of a sugya that will continue tomorrow, since I unfortunately am not in top shape today, and I'm going to have to ask you to please bear with me. I apologize. I had an awful day yesterday, and I'm just getting together. So please be meichel me so that I don't want to start the next sugya about the various types of skins and the different dinim about psuchas and stumas a bit too much. And I'm sorry. It's because it's just perfect timing. It's a lovely, lovely time to get it all in, and I'm very tempted. But maybe, as Barnea said yesterday, you know, I think he said it yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. Bitulo ukiyumo. Okay. Bezros Hashem. Hope to find more to life. See you all. Thank you so much.